AIC Stories Podcast presents.
There we are. I got some tea here. I just finally got back home, actually. I was out all day exploring and getting a feel for things around here. I followed the road out of here and turning off just a few miles away onto another little road, I came across a small town. It reminded me a lot of the town my grandparents grew up in, but it was, as with everything around here, just a little different. It wasn't mystery. No, I haven't ventured there just yet. But anyways, the town did have a holiday gas station, which is a good find for me because that way I know, A, where I can fuel up the car so I don't have to walk everywhere, and B, I can grab coffee before heading out to explore. So that's what I did. Grabbed a hot coffee and hit the road. Next time, though, I do need to remember to grab my camera. It's really interesting how things here are all so similar, so familiar, yet very different. It's hard to explain. Maybe with a camera I can make it happen. But anyhow, the task at hand why we're here today. A short while back, a book had showed up in the mailbox. This was a big book. There was a little note of instruction on the inside cover. Now, like I said, this thing is huge. It's a beautiful leather-bound collection, basically, this leather-bound book from a company called Amaranth Press. On the cover in gold foil is stamped the name John Steinbeck, and there's also some nice decorative accents. It's a beautiful book. But what's more important is that inside, this book contains five of his biggest novels. The Grapes of Wrath, The Moon is Down, Cannery Row, East of Eden, and Of Mice and Men. Now, I have read a number of these over the years before, but it's been probably since I was in school. And so I'm looking forward to this. Now, the notes on the inside of the cover, of course, in my own handwriting again, even though I don't remember writing it, but anyways, that note, it just simply said, "Welcome to the John Steinbeck journey." Now, I know I mentioned before that I have a goal of getting through my back catalog of books that I collected on my Kindle and bookshelves over the years. That's true, at least that's how I'm interpreting it, basically, because all of these things, well, the books just kind of show up. And all of them usually have a little note in my own handwriting telling me this is what to read next. So I assume this is just my back catalog, and we're going to try and get through it. So I don't know. It's a very eclectic journey through these reviews and through my reading for the time that I'm passing doing that, because literally I get these books, they show up in the mailbox with a little message, and I dive into them. But anyways, let's get on to today's entry into the archive. Here are my thoughts on the first of the five novels in this collection. The Steinbeck journey is underway. This is archive entry, the review 006, The Grapes of Wrath by John Steinbeck. Well, I guess where to start with this, The Grapes of Wrath is a Pulitzer Prize-winning novel. It looks closely at the trials and tribulations of a family whose last name is Jode. Particularly, the primary character of that family is Tom. This family is forced off their land in Oklahoma during the Great Depression. Times are tough, and the paradise of California, though 2,000 miles away, seems like the only real option to find a way to start over and make a better life for themselves. All through the land, there are pamphlets, handbills, I guess you'd call them, given out and spread everywhere. They advertise the abundance of work for anyone willing to show up, and so the Great Migration from the Dust Bowl regions of the southern Midwest, think of those areas like Oklahoma, of course, Kansas, Arkansas, those areas, northern Texas even, places like that. The Great Migration from those areas to California begins. Now, it's a difficult journey, of course, and not everyone is going to make it. And, of course, those that do, as the Jode family soon discovers, find that the paradise they were promised out there in California was nothing more than smoke and mirrors. To survive a hostile environment where work is scarce, food is scarcer, and people are desperate to do anything they can to keep themselves alive, the Jode family soon learned some very hard lessons in humanity as those in power work to squash those who don't. In short, Steinbeck gives us an amazing look at the terrifyingly brutal life faced by all during the Great Depression, and trust me, it is not for the faint of heart. What these people lived through was nothing short of terrifying and heartbreaking. Now, when we look at the Grapes of Wrath, as far as characters go, there are a lot of different people that we're going to meet along this journey. But the story itself focuses primarily on the Jode family. While imperfect, much like any family, with members having been in prison for murder, others struggling with alcohol, struggling with womanizing, addictions, all kinds of things, and so much more, at their core, the Jode family are good people. Honest people that just want an opportunity to work the land, to find a little spot they can to settle down and make enough of a living to take care of themselves. And the Jode family, they're just stubborn enough to never give up on that dream, even when it becomes painfully evident that it may be fully impossible. This book, The Grapes of Wrath, presents us with a truly magnificent display of Steinbeck's writing skill, as he weaves a tale full of beautiful prose and heartbreaking characters. This is a tale that sucks you into this desperate, gritty world, and then forces you to watch as the characters are lied to, exploited, betrayed, beaten, and battered by a, quite frankly, punishing life. However, as beautiful as the writing is, this book is a very, very slow burn. As a story, there's no real big ebb and flow of action that leads to a huge climactic finish. It's truly just a snapshot of, I guess, this moment in history for this family. It's a photograph of an extremely difficult point in American history for the people that survived it, and there is really no happy ending to be found here. Well, other than knowing that eventually the Great Depression ended in real life and times did get better, but in terms of the Jode family in this story, we're never given any answers. Who knows what their ultimate fate may be? Now, there are some things about Steinbeck's approach to this story that do take some getting used to, or maybe require a little bit of fortitude, is a better way to put it, to grind through. The most important of that is that there is a very kind of repetitive chapter and story structure that flows throughout this novel. Steinbeck will write a very beautiful, pulled back chapter that describes a setting or a plot point in kind of generic terms, essentially telling the story but without any specific characters, opting instead to use terms like a man did this, the woman did this, the people gathered here, the land was XYZ, instead of saying the Jode family or Tom or, you know, any of the other specific character names. Now, these chapters are typically pretty short, a few pages. They're pretty short and punchy is the other thing. They kind of get right in and out, give you the impact, not a lot of excess description or details. Basically, the details are distilled down for maximum impact if lacking in personal connection, since, like I said, there are no specific characters mentioned. Then what we get in the next step of this ebb and flow of the structure that Steinbeck presents is the next chapter that is going to be a typically much longer chapter. It's going to be full of dialogue that's all written in phonetic style, which is kind of jarring at first. It takes a little getting used to, but very quickly I found myself realizing that, you know, because that's how it's written, is the way that he imagined these people speaking, it did help kind of humanize and bring these characters to life a little bit. But that phonetic way of speaking, which is full of slang words and dialect that's written onto the page, basically it's a little jarring, takes some getting used to. And what those chapters do, which are much longer and dive in more specifically to the characters, is they take that very same short, punchy chapter and then expand on it greatly through the eyes of the Jode family and their migration west. The end effect of this structure is that it often feels like one chapter tells you what's going to happen next, and then the next chapter spends page after page after page of detailing that same information, only fleshed out through the eyes of the characters versus the wide shot. That's the best way I can explain it, is that it's almost like a movie that alternates between a wide establishing shot with some sort of voiceover that's kind of cluing us into the plot, and then it dives into a series of close-ups that tell us the same story we just heard in the voiceover. It can feel a bit redundant and exhausting as you're reading. However, this book is full of amazing characters. It's one thing Steinbeck does incredibly well, and I'll touch on it in the next couple of books that we talk about for Steinbeck as well, is that he has a way of establishing these characters. And no matter how dire or nasty or unfortunate their circumstances are, these people kind of just accept it. They roll up their sleeves and they do what needs to get done. And I think that speaks a lot to that generation of people, to be quite honest. Like I said, the book is full of amazing characters. It's got a very heart-wrenching story. It's gritty, it's dark, and the characters, I mean, you really, really travel with them as they struggle to survive. And this is basically a masterclass of fantastic literary prose. But the flip side to that is that it's also a book that is very slow and plodding in its pacing. And with that style of writing, and the soul-wrenching subject matter, quite frankly, it does leave you feeling a little drained and exhausted as the grind of chapter after chapter of struggle unfolds. Don't let that deter you. I think it's well worth reading, because this is a story that's meant to share the struggle of people in this country during the Great Depression. And that time was full of people that fought with all they had just to survive another day on that level. And because of that, this story is wildly successful and worth sticking through and taking a chance to add to the library of books that you've enjoyed. The Grapes of Wrath brings a beautiful and heartbreaking focus on humanity. And through this story, we're given a look at the true power of family, the bond of family, the horror of how far people will go to maintain their positions of power, and ultimately how, no matter what, there is a determination to find a way to survive, no matter what the cost, at least for the Jode family. But, like I said, this is not a fairy tale. It doesn't have a happily ever after ending. It is a dark read that will wear on you as you push through it. It's not dark in the sense of a horror novel or something like that. It's dark because it happened. This is, you know, while not a historically accurate account of a specific real life family, this is what life was like during the Great Depression. This is a journey worth taking, however, if only to gain an appreciation for what that generation of people had to go through in order to simply survive. And the reason I say that is because, truly, without understanding how life was during that time, and without that generation's determination and grit, truth is, our generations would not exist. And this story serves as a tremendous monument of thanks that is worth the journey to experience, at least once. Heavy subject matter makes for heavy reading. It's just how it is. And this look at the intense brutality of life during the Great Depression is not to be taken lightly. It's every bit deserving of its legendary status, but it is incredibly difficult to get through. It's a heartbreaking story with moments of beauty that seep through the ever-present horrifying darkness and difficulty of life for these characters. The bottom line is that this story is a grind to get through, even though it is absolutely full of masterful, powerful, and beautiful writing from John Steinbeck. Excuse me. Here's the thing. Not only is the writing powerful and beautiful, but it is one of those books that at least once in your life, you should take the time to add and take the time to get through. It's not a page turner. You're going to go through this, and it's best read in small chunks where you can kind of savor and truly soak in what's happening. Anyways, as such, The Grapes of Wrath by John Steinbeck gets a 3 out of 5 stars as we enter it into the AIC Stories vault. This is, like I said, the very first of five novels on this journey through John Steinbeck's writing career. And so starting off with a score like that, a 3 out of 5 stars, is a nice way to start. It is heavy. It's difficult to get through, but it's a beautiful story full of beautiful writing that's well worth adding to your collection. Now, if you enjoy the AIC Stories podcast experience, consider helping out by sharing this review, sharing the podcast episodes you love, telling your friends about us, and giving us a follow on social media. It's weird sitting here in a cabin saying this stuff. I don't know who's listening even, but I'm told that you are out there and I appreciate you. Of course, if you want to say thanks and help keep the archive growing here at AIC Stories, you can always join us at buymeacoffee.com/AIC Stories. Your support there goes directly into continuing to bring you the content you love, as well as allowing me to keep growing and expanding that which is possible here in the AIC Stories universe. No matter how you support AIC Stories, I greatly appreciate it and appreciate you spending some time with me as we add another entry into the AIC Stories audio vault. As always, keep reading, keep listening, keep watching, and most of all, keep enjoying your stories. We'll see you soon.